This is Wagner Live. If it's going on in business, he's talking about it. Real, raw, and direct. Let's do it.
This is Wagner Live, and this is Wagner Dos Santos.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Wagner Dos Santos, and this is Wagner Live. In this episode, I will be giving you an update on the top marketing news during the week of September 26th. I have updates on digital advertising, artificial intelligence, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and more. Now let's go ahead and get started. So I would like to start off with an article that I saw that referenced the six signs you aren't cut out to be an entrepreneur. So there's a few reasons why I wanted to start with that in the program today. One is because I have recently returned to entrepreneurship. So yay, round of applause for me. I've learned a lot over the years. I've been an entrepreneur for a large percentage of my business career and have run approximately three different companies since the age of 17. And I learned a lot of things. one of the things that I learned is that I was probably most cut out to be an entrepreneur. And another big lesson was that a lot of people are not cut out to be entrepreneurs or business owners, especially when it comes to managing people. And that's what makes it probably the most difficult for those of us considering entrepreneurship, is the fact that are we willing to take the reward against the risk as a result of being in an environment where you don't feel valued, you don't feel that you are working with someone that has a true team vision, but it's really a vision of one, the owner. And a lot of those reasons are very good reasons for someone to go out on their own. However, it's not for everybody. And one would say it's not for the faint of heart. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the six signs you aren't cut out to be an entrepreneur. Number one, you prefer following orders. So yes, there are some people that prefer to be a soldier and follow those orders, not having to think for themselves and just do what somebody else tells them to do. And you know what? If that's what you want, no problem at all. You don't have to be an entrepreneur. You can go ahead, and there are plenty of people that want to tell you what to do all day long. So number two, you prefer working to fulfill someone else's dream. That's a big one. That's a real big one. And that's one that it's taken me time to understand, because I'm such a team player. In the companies that I've started, including this new agency that I just started, we had our first week this past week, and we're going on to our second week. I really enjoy and I thrive having team participation and collaboration. So I don't enjoy just having a lot of other people come in and fulfill my dream. I want it to be a unified dream. But that's me, and that's not necessarily everybody, unfortunately. But I do, of course, understand that I do have an overarching vision and dream that is driving the focus of the company. But it ends up being a unified effort of everyone that's involved. But there are some business owners that they bring you on to fulfill their dream and their dream alone, and some people prefer to do that. So then you're not cut out to be an entrepreneur. Number three, you don't like hard work. Some people don't. Some people just want to check in, check out, punch out, and Well, you know, to be fair, you could be punching in and punching out and it could be hard work. Some people just really want to just go through the motions and do their time, if you will, and then be done. Number four, you get along great with everyone in your life. I thought that was kind of an interesting one that was thrown in there. So if you get along great with everyone in your life, you're not cut out to be an entrepreneur, I guess. Number five, you see everything in the world as being just fine. All right, this one I think is a big one because a lot of entrepreneurs out there, especially your tech disruptors, are those that don't feel that everything in the world is just fine. So they want to go out there and make a better world. And they have the drive and the motivation to create something that will do that. And number six, last but not least, you feel very mainstream and you love it. I have never felt very mainstream. So I don't know what that feels like, but there are some people that are very mainstream. They love it and they just want to play it safe. So those are the six signs you aren't cut out to be an entrepreneur. And suffice it to say that neither one of those six applies to me. So anyway, that's my little fun celebration of the fact that I am back out on my own with an agency named Wagner. Go figure. So the agency is called Wagner. It's wagneragency.us if you want to learn more. And it complements really nicely to this show, Wagner Live. And you know what? It happens to be my first name. So I think it complements that pretty well as well. So let's go ahead. And we're going to get started with, I want to talk about Yelp. So Yelp, there was an article out there on Business Insider about Yelp's New York office. And there are about 4,000 employees around the world. And they're a $3 billion company, if you didn't know. And they offer some pretty interesting perks. Now, a look into their office in New York City. And it's replete with foosball tables, karaoke machines, beer kegs, free snacks, all those kind of things. And, of course, the stereotypical open floor plan, right? Which I'll tell you, everybody has been following in that footstep of let's take out the ceiling tiles. Let's gut out everything, expose the ducts and make it kind of industrial, and let's open up the space. There's so many companies that are just following that. And I think that it works maybe for some, doesn't always work for others. Some people feel very distracted in such an open, noisy space. Some people that seriously have ADD or ADHD, that causes a lot of problems. And for many of us in the creative space, it seems that many of us suffer from some kind of attention deficit disorder. So that aside, it's kind of interesting. You want to take a look online to see what the office looks like. They have a cafe that's kind of built right in to the office space. So almost very much like what you would see in a food court. So it's kind of neat, you know. And I see my buddy Jay Massey was commenting here that this open floor space concept is so 10 years ago, and I would say that he's right, that those that are they're following that now are really kind of late in the game. But nonetheless, everybody wants to have, it seems, this kind of Google-esque office space. And Yelp certainly has created something similar like this. But yeah, they have a Yelp cafe that I'm looking at here on the site. And they have a karaoke machine set up. They have different areas to just kind of hang out and congregate or watch a live performance from some band that they might invite to come in. You know, just very communal. And I think that the concept in over the years has been create a fun environment so that people will want to stay. And especially with a lot of the Silicon Valley, the different Silicon Valley campuses, they were situated or are situated in areas that you need to drive to. So the idea was, how do we create enough for them to stay on campus until it's time for them to go home? Because if they have to leave to go to lunch or leave to do something else between traffic and just general drive time, they're going to take a big chunk out of their day. So why don't, you know, so it seems like they created this fun environment for their employers. And in some, to some extent they did, but it really has a very self-serving aspect to it. So that's my Yelp story for today. If you want to take a look, take a look online, and you'll see Yelp's new New York office. So, did you hear this? Consumers continue to increase their time spent consuming digital media, while advertisers continue to increase their ad budgets into digital channels. Now, it's nothing new for me to announce that digital media is growing, and it's growing at a rapid pace. But it's interesting that the U.S. digital advertising industry continues to experience such remarkable growth, and they've expects to reach probably around $100 billion in annual revenue through into 2021. And this is driven primarily by the sustained migration of ad dollars from traditional TV to digital video and the continued increase of social spending. Now, a recent report from IAB, which is the Interactive Advertising Bureau, if I'm not mistaken, they say that U.S. digital ad revenue is expected to reach nearly $100 billion by 2021, as I mentioned, and that represents a compound annual growth of 8% from the $68.9 billion expected in 2016. Now, mobile is positioned to become the top destination for digital ad spending. The growth, when we look at the charts, are incredible in terms of how much consumption of advertising is coming through digital devices. Not surprising, of course, because our society is so tethered to their mobile devices, be it smartphones and tablets. Social advertising in all formats is gaining traction, and we are seeing ad revenue poised to climb to $30.8 billion by 2021, and that's up from $15.5 billion this year. And what's interesting to me, and we'll talk a little bit about artificial intelligence moving forward, but artificial intelligence, augmented and virtual reality, sponsored content are signaled to help propel further digital ad growth in the next decade. There are some really interesting advancements that we're seeing in how these type of technology elements are being brought into the digital media and advertising space. And we'll get into artificial intelligence a little bit later. Native advertising. Now, native advertising are those ads that you see that flow within the content. They are not interruptive, at least they're not supposed to be interruptive, and they're supposed to look like it's a continuation of the content that you're consuming. I've had mixed feelings about native advertising. I think many others have as well, that native advertising sometimes is trying to trick the reader or the consumer of content into believing that it's content that they're receiving, that it's organic content rather than paid or sponsored advertising. However, when done well, it's very effective, and we can't ignore that native advertising has been significantly on the rise, and it has and continues to have higher levels of engagement than traditional ads. And the study from IAB shows that 74% of all ad revenue will be driven by native advertising by 2021. And, you know, when we talk about that kind of advertising, we're including digital display, banners, rich media, sponsorship, and video ads. Now, video ads, of course, being the really big one where we're seeing TV dollars, broadcast dollars being pulled away to move into video. So expect to continue to see growth in that area. Now, moving on to Spotify. Spotify is in advanced talks to buy SoundCloud, in case you haven't heard. And Spotify was last valued at $8.5 billion in June of 2015, according to the Wall Street Journal. So that's a big one. And it'll be interesting to see if that comes through and what that's going to mean for a lot of audio content, not just music, but SoundCloud for those that podcast, such as myself. It has become a platform for podcasters to host their audio content. So it'll be interesting what that means with Spotify and podcasting, if there's going to be some significant integration there. Also, I found this interesting. Did you know that men are more likely to complain about ads than women? So the Advertising Standards Authority found that 56% of the 25,647 complaints it received last year were from men, according to The Guardian. But here's another interesting did you know. For those of you that, like myself, that use Slack, which is a communication, somewhat of a project management, but a communication platform that many companies are utilizing internally and with clients, that Slack is actually an acronym. And it's an acronym for Searchable Log of All Conversation and Knowledge. All right. So if someone asks you, or if you just want to seem really smart Monday morning in your coffee chatter, just let them know that, did you know that Slack is an acronym for Searchable Log of All Conversation and Knowledge? Hello. Where did you go? All right. So Facebook. Facebook's new thing. Well, not so new, but Messenger, their Messenger platform is something that they're focus very heavily on further development. And we've heard in recent news about how they are improving the development of bots into Messenger so that the Messenger application can make certain predictions based on the conversation that's happening. They also are creating now a Snapchat-like service, and they're calling it Messenger Day. And it's currently in test mode internationally. So Messenger Day is going to be Facebook's answer to Snapchat. It wasn't enough for them to dive into stories with Instagram, but now they're trying to go all out with their Messenger app. Apple. So, hey, Kendra. Sorry, guys. I saw friends in the Facebook feed and want to say hello. So shout out to all you guys, by the way. So I see Pat's on there, Jay Massey, Kendra, my buddy Carlo's there, Andy's there, Ash is there. Wow, it's a party. All right, guys. I lost my flow there for a second, but Apple, more people intend to purchase AirPods over the Apple Watch 2, sorry. And that's 12% versus 8%. So 12% of those studied said that they would prefer to purchase the AirPods, and only 8% said that they would be interested in purchasing Apple Watch 2. Now, that may sound interesting that more intend to purchase AirPods over Apple Watch 2, but these numbers are even more interesting, that about 88% said they will not purchase AirPods and 92% won't purchase Apple Watch 2. I am probably one of those with my original Apple Watch. I haven't seen enough of a breakthrough and innovation with the Watch 2 in order to purchase it. So I'm going to stick with my fairly pricey Apple Watch original that I purchased. So yeah, so I there's that. So my friend Pat was talking about Facebook's Messenger, that it should be messy day. I think that's kind of funny. Sometimes we have a messy day. So also also in Apple news, I don't know if you guys heard, but Apple is believed to be working on a version of the MacBook Pro with a second touch-sensitive screen that sits above the keyboard. And it might launch as soon as next month. So be on the lookout. And also in quote unquote secret development is the iPhone 8. And apparently the iPhone 8 hardware is being, again, quote unquote, secretly being created in Israel. So I think we've blown the secret out of the water now. So so I told you I was going to talk about artificial intelligence. So IBM's Watson platform. Now, they have made so many great developments with Watson and are really advancing how the Watson API interacts with other brands, products, services, and so forth. Now, IBM's owned weather company, the Weather Company, is rolling out a voice and display advertising campaign, and it will be powered by its AI supercomputer Watson, and so they have also, as I said, created this API for advertising.
You've been listening to Wagner Live.
Wagner is an advertising agency executive, and it's his passion to talk about business without the fluff and blowing smoke. Having owned and operated several different businesses since the age of 17, and with 20 years of experience in advertising and marketing,
he may be just a tad bit qualified.
We hope you enjoyed the show. Catch him on social media at Wagner Live and hit the website at Wagner.live. We'll see you again next week.